Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Training proudly present No Borders, No Picks, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King, David Doc Evan Borgo. Thank you so much for joining in once again. And today I'm very excited because I'm joined by my good buddy, Elite Four Derek, my con master of partnership, whatever you want to call that.
Yep, on number three now. Here we go.
Yes, number three. And we are actually in Manchester, New Hampshire for another anime convention. That is the title of the convention. We are at another anime convention that just so happens to be called another anime convention.
I mean, we went last year, so this is another anime convention for us.
Right, exactly. And Derek, this was your very first experience with an anime convention last year. So how was that?
It was great. I'm looking forward to not going in blind, though. So now I actually know what to expect out of this, and now it's more of the time to kind of search out the things that I want to see, go to see different panels and whatnot, and get more of a game plan going in.
Yeah, that's right, because there are some, like, game tournament things that are going to be happening at AAC. There's also some great panels, some wonderful guests. We have, of course, one of our favorite people, J. Michael Tatum, hosting his 18-plus panel, which is always hilarious.
Yes, that'll finish out the night tonight. And now yes. I know to hit the dealer's room first when we get there, because that thing empties out quick.
That's correct.
That's going to be our first stop.
Because with Derek, he has a thing where he grabs all the original badges from Pokemon.
Yes, so some of the haters might not like me for saying this, but I started with the Viridian City gym badge. I figure I went in it, you know, the order you actually reach the town. So I got the Earth badge first, because fuck it, that gym should have been open anyways.
Right, well, that's the thing. A lot of people will, like, say that in the video game, of course, it says that the gym member isn't there, the gym leader. But in the anime version, hence why this is another anime convention, and we're at an anime convention, we're going by the thing where Misty just plainly forgot to tell Ash that there was a gym there he could get a badge at.
Yes. But I knew. So, we got the Earth badge, then I got the Boulder badge at Anime Boston this past year. And so this time, Cascade badge. We're going to make it happen.
Right. Although you do have to replace one of your badges, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the boulder took a little tumble, so
yeah.
We're going to get another boulder, but we're going to pretend that it's still the original, though, not to ruin the magic there.
Exactly. But for this episode of No Borders, No Race, we're going to be reporting on each day. Like, what did we experience? What did we see? What did we have fun with? What didn't we have fun with? Because, you know, that sometimes happens. There are some disappointments at conventions.
I can't wait to see what the biggest theme this year is going to be.
Well, considering that the character is looks like a waitress, I'm going to guess food, like Food Wars, might be the theme of it.
As long as it's not as many Harley Quinns as we saw last year, because that was my biggest takeaway from last year, was the amount of Suicide Squad Harley Quinns walking around with hammers.
I think the Suicide Squad fad has died down.
Yes.
Like, I feel like a lot of those people went in and did the cosplay before the movie even opened up. Like, they were preparing for it, and then they were like, the movie sucked, but I have this, so fuck it, I'll wear it the last day. But I'm very excited about doing this convention. Like I said, today's episode is going to be a little special. Not only are we going to be reporting on each day of the convention and each segment, but we're also going to be spinning some songs from classic and recent anime. Mostly classic. So we're going to dive into the playlist right now before we do the first day of another anime convention, which technically hasn't happened yet. We're still in the hotel room doing some last-minute preparations for the convention.
Yeah, I mean, Evan's bed is currently vertical in the room right now.
Yep. Fortunately, we can fix that, but if I had to sleep like this, I guess it's going to be either vampire or St. Stephen styled.
Well, it's a nice little strap that'll keep you, you know, fastened in there, and plenty of cardboard to keep it nice and stable or sturdy, I guess.
Although the rush of blood to the head might actually kill me if I sleep like that.
Yeah, but, but hey, at least there are no mattresses out in the front yard this year.
That's right. That was one of the first takeaways when I came here last year, was that there were just so many goddamn mattresses, probably from maybe the last convention. Maybe they had some weird orgy thing happen that they had to just get rid of everything.
Yep, so luckily they dragged in the mattress, and now it's in our room.
Yes, yes. So I'm very excited. We're going to, as soon as this segment is over, we're going to head on over to AAC. And hopefully you're going to enjoy what we're going to discuss. And I also hope that you're going to enjoy this playlist. Which, by the way, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp. Yes, Asia, Amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. And today we're going to start things off with one of the opening themes to the original Full Metal Alchemist. This is Asian Kung Fu Generation with a track from their Solfa album. This is Rewrite.
What he said.
Mira. Megumi Hayashibara with Fly Me to the Moon, which served as the end theme to the classic anime series Neon Genesis Evangelion, which, by the way, that song is, of course, a classic in its own. Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, many famous people have sung this song. Those are, of course, the best people who have sung those songs, but I do have to say Megumi Hayashibara's version is outstanding. She was actually one of the very first, like, J-pop singers that got me into this whole sort of music realm that I promote the crap out of every single week.
And it did last pretty long, because I feel like it's been almost a day since we started recording.
Yes, indeed. Yes, so, as we had mentioned in the previous segment, each one we're going to be discussing what we did each day, and we are at the beginning of day two, so let's rewind us a little bit. We headed over to AAC while blaring the new Beck album, which, by the way, everybody needs to get the new Beck album.
Yes. It's a nice, I mean, half of it's kind of mellow, the other half, very nice party theme, but it all goes together really nicely.
We were making some comments of it's like some of the songs, especially Seventh Heaven, that would be just perfect anime theme songs.
Yep, but then, I can't think of the name of the song offhand, but track 3 off the Colors album sounds like what Weezer was hoping that they could be at some point, but just
it was like free. It was like, I am free, something like that.
Was it that one or was the next one?
No, it is that one that you're thinking of. Because okay. We were first thinking it was like him making fun of Kanye West.
Yep. So, track 3.
Yes, track 3, absolutely.
Whatever it should be named.
So, we head over to the convention, we get our badges, and as Derek had mentioned, the very first thing he wanted to do was get on over to the dealer's room.
Dealer's room. So, the tradition continues. I officially have my third Pokemon badge.
Yay!
I got the Cascade badge! Yay, okay. And just like Ash, I still didn't actually do any Pokemon battles.
That's not true. Like he does the battles, but then the gym leaders are like, we feel guilty, so here it is.
Yeah, well, Pewter City, he short-circuits the friggin' electrical system in the gym and basically shocks the friggin' Pokemon to death.
Yeah. Awesome. You can't do that in the game.
Awesome, here's my badge, and I'm going to be your friend.
I wouldn't do that. Like, if someone had done that to my Pokemon, I would have been like, that was a dick thing. Fuck you.
Just walk up and kick the Pikachu over.
So yeah, there were some really cool booths walking around. We're probably going to be doing that a lot during the 3 days. I was like,
yes.
Oh, there's a little crevice there that we didn't notice last time. You got your mug. You got your big, giant root beer mug.
Yes, I finally got one of the giant metal soda chalices that are being sold by the Bills.
Wild Bills.
Wild Bills. And, yeah, I basically have that thing, like, hooked on my backpack right now, like I'm some sort of actual backpacker, and just clunks around everywhere, and it's awesome.
You're just about ready to go on the Appalachian Trail there, good sir.
Yeah.
And while we were walking around, too, there was this soda that this guy was selling, brand new soda brand called Radiation Soda. And let me tell you, like, it's been a while since I've went gaga over a flavor of a soda, but that was good.
Definitely on the sweeter side, and all the design just reminds me of Fallout, too.
It does. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Nuka-Cola.
Yeah.
Like Nuka-Cola with a bit of the, Planet Express from Futurama.
Yep. Instead of Pip-Boy.
So, yeah, that was mad tasty. So, shout out to the Radiation Soda people of... Hopefully someone takes notice of them. That would be great to see them in regular stores.
And, of course, since I work in a unnamed multinational corporate coffee chain, I did just have to get a t-shirt that says Star Wars Coffee.
That is a really cool t-shirt. And as I had mentioned, like, I'm going to be an uncle very soon, so, like, my whole shopping at the dealer's room has been focused on what should I get from my future niece, and I am so happy that this convention has pleased me with what they have that is perfect for my future, niece. One of the first anime that I really want to introduce her to is Cardcaptor Sakura, and they had this little tiny, what would we call it, like a little blanket of Kiro Barrels, a big giant plushie of Kiro Barrels that I bought too, and a little tiny one of the main girl Sakura. Now the thing about the Kiro Barrels one is like this plushie was like what, 5-6 different booths?
Yep.
And it was like, how much is this one? 45. How much is that? 45. 45. 45. The last one I go to, like, okay, I'm ready to hear those two numbers again. I'm ready to hear that number. And how much is this? 35. Fucking sold. So that made me happy. And hopefully, because like, I was also looking at some of the Pokemon plushies and thinking, what would be a good one to give to a niece? I know everyone loves the Pikachu ones, but I don't know. I want to be different. You know what I mean?
Togepi would be cute. There were a couple Togepis there.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Togepi.
You know, all the bright little red and blue colors all on the shell. You know, a little happy little smile.
Yeah, yeah.
No small pieces that can be swallowed.
That is true. That is a very important part of that. Now, you got a really cool poster.
Yes, I got a My Hero Academia poster. It's in the style of an old, like, Marvel Comics cover. And I thought it was kind of funny. The price for mine was $15, but in the actual artwork to the comic book cover, where it would normally say the price, actually says $15. I thought that was a nice little cool insert they put in there.
Yeah, that was really neat. So, after we walked around the dealer's room, we went to a few of the panels that were being held. One of them was being held by someone that I'm hoping to get an interview with later on.
Speaking of My Hero Academia.
Yeah, Jessica Cavana, who plays Deku's mom.
Yes.
And she did a panel called Anime for Autism. Now, the best way to describe it is just her just talking to just the people and just saying, hey, what's good for kids who are on the spectrum? Because she has an 18-year-old son who is on the spectrum. Mm. It doesn't sound like he's as high-functioning as I am, but it's one of those things where, like, what would be a good series for him to be introduced to? Like, because he said, oh, he loves the Disney movies, but, like, Studio Ghibli is, like, don't get me wrong, because I love Studio Ghibli stuff, all the Miyazaki's, like, Porco Rosso, Spirited Away, Kiki's Delivery Service. Everybody recommends those. You want to be different. Like I said, you want to be that different person that wants to give them something unique. So, it was a bit of an interesting one.
I found that, like, as different as different forms of autism can be on the spectrum, that is how different all of the suggestions were in the crowd.
Right.
Everyone was very well represented. One person giving all the most violent possible. Like, yeah, well, he likes Disney characters. Well, let me tell you about Kill la Kill.
Well, like, Kill la Kill it is violent, but it's more comedically violent, yeah. I would say. But then after that, we saw one of our friends from, like, the Parent Twins doing something known as dramatic fan fiction reading.
Oh, that
and
was
let
fun.
Me tell you, there was a theme of, like, Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, and bread.
What is with bread?
I and don't understand.
And why does it have to do with gay people sexing each other?
The one standout is there was a fan fiction about Sonic the Hedgehog, but it didn't get to Sonic the Hedgehog until, like, page 4.
And there was a roar from the crowd once his name was finally mentioned after the litany of... I can't even describe
it. It started with, like, Space Jam.
Space Jam, but with Brendan Fraser.
Was Looney Tunes Back in Action, technically.
Yes, but they all died except for Brendan Fraser. But he knew Michael Jordan, so apparently Michael Jordan wasn't part of the Space Jam crew. This is, like, not canon now. I don't even get where this fan fiction is going anymore.
What makes it sound like what this was Michael Jordan was dead and something had formed in the place of Michael Jordan to pretend to be Michael Jordan. I don't understand the mentality of some of these fan fiction.
But then they focus on Brendan Fraser more than Hollywood even did back in the late 90s.
Where is he anyway?
Paying bills, I'm sure. Probably shaking his fist looking at a poster of the new Mummy movie going, it could have been me, it should have been me.
I don't know, maybe he might have been like, whew, glad I avoided that stinker. Not even Tom Cruise and Russell Crowe. Who? Russell Crowe is younger than Tom Cruise in real life, and he played the older guy in that movie. How the fuck does that work?
Hollywood.
Then afterwards, we checked out the 18-plus dating game, which, again, one of our other Parent Twins participated in.
Say one.
Interesting. So, yeah, say one.
Yep. We had Mokuba reading to us, and then Mokuba trying to get his date on.
Those are always fun, because I'm actually surprised with the 18-plus dating games here at another anime convention, because I've been to the ones at Anime Boston, and they're... not that great. I feel like they hold back a lot at those ones. Mm-hmm. This one, I feel, really pushes the envelope. But Zap Brannigan was amazing.
Zap was great with short uniform and all, and he definitely played that up. My only criticism, his underwear was a different shade of red than his uniform, and it was very apparent to see that.
Why were you staring at that?
Because he's sitting there, spread eagle, in the middle of a stage with a spotlight on him, talking about velour. Fair?
That is fair. Okay. That is very, very fair. So that was a good time. And last but not least, the creme de la creme. I know we can't really discuss too much of what was told at this panel, but J. Michael Tatum's WTF 101 18+ is always like the highlight of another anime convention, and it did not disappoint this year.
I will say that apparently it's easier to have a dog have relations with a girl than it is for a brother to have relations with his sister. The latter of which apparently takes about $5 million, the former of which just takes a hypothetical situation and a shrug.
And Jeff.
And, oh yeah.
Oh god. But let me say this, because whenever Tatum does his panel, he has just some of like the best bits. And I need to ask him if he's ever considered like trying this in like a stand-up situation, like stand-up routines. Because the stories about him first time with a woman, I know, shocking! Tatum with a woman? What a scandal! To like his first time having a drink at TGI Fridays.
Oh, God.
That was just magical. And, like I said, I don't want to get too much into the details of that panel, but let me just say, if you ever see Tatum at your convention and he has a WTF, you gotta go and do it. It is so awesome. My voice is like hoarse just from laughing. That's how good it was.
I want to call that like the capstone event of another anime convention.
Exactly. Like,
it's always the first night, but it seems like that's what really gets things going off to a bang.
Absolutely. So, final thoughts on day one? Personally, I thought it was pretty good. A lot of fun, a lot of great laughs. We got to catch up with a lot of great people that we hadn't seen in a while. Yep. Probably since Anime Boston.
Yeah, you know, people that I met at Anime Boston, all of a sudden I see just walking around here, so I get that nice little, oh hey, how's it going?
Mm-hmm. Should we give a shout out to Party Boy Pikachu?
Oh yeah, Pikachu, which apparently there is some sort of clause about nudity in that no nipples can be shown. So this fine gentleman is going around in a Pikachu hat, a nice little Pikachu, we'll say Speedo.
Speedo, yeah.
Yeah, and a tail, and a bunch of $1 bills stuffed down his Speedo.
I'm wondering how many people are actually going to stuff $1 bills in that.
Apparently he put about $4 of it in there.
Yes, yes.
And there looked to be at least $10 there, so
It might be working.
Yeah, it's at least a profit, right?
Yeah.
But then there's also 50 cents taped right on his chest to cover his nipples, so he's got that going for him.
Right, well, you know, I feel like the policy, if one gender can't show their nipples, I guess nobody can show their nipples. Personally, I'm part of the Free the Nipple movement.
Yeah,
you
they should have just gone the other way with this ultimatum, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, well, come on, it's New Hampshire. Live free or die.
Yeah. Live free or cover it with quarters.
So yes, that was day one, and we are just about to head out for day two, and I'm a little bit nervous because I'm going to be hosting the hardcore anime panel with John Star, and because, as you know, Andrew is still in Okinawa. He won't be back until probably November. It's going to be interesting. I'm nervous, but I'm really looking forward to it.
It's all right, so we just got to, we got some technical issues we got to iron out before the event actually happens, but that should be no issue.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. So, while you wait to hear what we did for day two, let's head on back to the playlist, and right now we're going to spin one of my favorite tracks from the Cowboy Bebop soundtrack, and you can find this on the Cowboy Bebop Blue album, accompanied by Steve Conte, who is actually on-again, off-again guitarist for the New York Dolls from time to time. This song is called Call Me, Call Me.
Bibbidi bebop, bebop, bo.
I close my eyes and I keep seeing things. Rainbow waterfalls. Sun.
That was Yui Horie with To the Future with a Smile from the album Hinata Girls Song Best 2, which is a collection of songs from the anime series Love Hina and collections of songs performed by the Seiyu from that show. One of my first favorite anime comedies was Love Hina.
Yeah, mine too.
Oh, guys, look, John Starr's here from Wicked Anime.
You can barely hear me because my voice is gone.
My voice is almost gone too.
We actually literally just screamed for an hour straight.
Yeah.
I was confused. I thought like puberty was just setting in for you guys.
That is long gone, my friends.
That is long gone.
Don't downplay yourself. You guys yelled for an hour and you danced for an hour.
We did.
He did.
Thank you.
I can't believe I danced that much during the panel.
Speaking of which, my friend who I said here, who I'm slapping on the knee right now because we're such close friends, Greg, who is actually a staff member of another anime con.
Yes, I am.
He was here last year on a wrap-up podcast.
Yes.
And he's joining us again for Saturday.
Yes,
for the Saturday podcast. Technically, this isn't the end of Saturday, but I figured because things are wrapping up right now, we figured we'd just talk about what we experienced and what we had fun with.
Today was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Oh, yeah. I was very surprised. I mean, granted, yesterday was so cool with the Tatum WTF panel, but when you have a bunch of friends like this here together, come on.
You
can't beat that. You can't beat that.
Yeah. I still love how small this con is and how underwhelming the crowds are, you know, and how it's... But it still feels like you're enjoying a really big con with stuff to do all the time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I think it's because that there's so few people that you have so much more access to other things that you can do so much more. And
absolutely.
Yeah, and you get to experience, you know, like not being overwhelmed by crowds and stuff like that.
Right, so because normally when you guys did a hardcore anime panel, you're doing it to like a few hundred people, but here it was just what, like
30? 30 maybe? 50? Yeah. But it was fun because I think that we had the same amount of energy in the room that we did at Anime Boston with that like crowd of 250 people.
Agreed. Yeah. It's easier to fill a small room with noise too, especially when the people in there are like totally energetic and ready for that.
And especially when I never stop screaming.
I actually had a hard time keeping up with you because as I mentioned in the first segment, I actually had to step in since Andrew is over in Okinawa right now. Yeah. I actually stepped in to help out with it. So trying my best to do the improvisational. Sometimes I did good. Sometimes I got the little...
You have to get used to it. We sucked at it in our first year.
Yeah.
But like, the thing of it is, too, is I typically follow Andrew whenever he's there with me. He's usually saying the most stuff, and I do the backups.
So it's like the backup of the backup.
I had to pick up the slack. I was the B-lister picking up the slack. That was the fourth line going in. Sorry, the Bruins are winning.
You know, I thought you guys did an incredible job for being backups, with Andrew mainly hosting the event.
Thanks.
You did pretty well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When we had a lot of...
Technically, I'm not even a backup. I'm just a guy who's just walking around the aisles just making sure everyone's good.
You're a substitute.
Good.
Backup substitute?
We had returning fans coming to our panels. We had fans who had been trying to see us for the longest time, and they finally got to see our panel for the first time, which was awesome. We're about to go see his panel after this.
Which is a wet t-shirt contest, by the way.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure there's more to it than that, but it's a wet t-shirt contest.
Oh, yeah.
But what else did we do today? The Hardcore Anime Panel was awesome. What else did we do today?
Well, we did some interviews today. Of course, we're going to hear these interviews after this show. We chatted with, of course, J. Michael Tatum, who has become the mayor of another anime convention.
Holy crap, dude. The way he can, like, carry a conversation forever with anybody. He's the most interesting dude in the world.
He is. You know, I like to, like, I compare him to, like, the gay Bruce Campbell. And I mean that in the most positive way. He feels like he's, like, true charisma and makes you feel like you're the only person in the room.
Yeah.
He makes you feel like you're the most important person there.
I was about to mention something about his panel, but I can't. It's true. Like, I love the way how he got into talking about England and British accents and how he started talking about... Well, you'll hear it in the interview, but, like, how he starts talking other people's accents when he's around them because he's so good at it. And it's like a reflex. So.
Right.
And eventually, he just kept the British accent going for half of his story.
Yeah. And he switched between, like, three different ones. He had, like, a Cockney accent. He had, like, a really well-developed one, like, a very suave one. Like, it was good.
And then after that, we chatted with Lauren Landa, who is right now the new Sailor Neptune for Sailor Moon, and she is such a doll to chat with. I was a little bit nervous to be bringing up the Testament of Sister New Devil, because as my readers will know, I gave that anime a really bad review.
Right.
But with her doing that sort of role, it's kind of funny.
I thought she defended it so well.
She did great.
Like, she actually made me rethink about...
Maybe rewatch
like,
it again.
Reevaluating the end, because like she knew it was etchy. She knew what you were getting out of it. But she also knew how to break it down and make it better than just a typical etchy anime. Which was like, okay, I'll give it credit for that. Like, you said a very valid point.
Do you think we should probably give the show a second chance?
No. I might watch an episode or two.
Alright. And then last we chatted with Jessica Cavanna. Now, this one was a little bit more important, and we actually discussed a lot about this, but because she has a kid on the autism spectrum, she does a panel here called Anime for Autism. And with me being on the spectrum myself, we actually dove deep into it.
What? Whoa, this is a surprise to me.
Shut up.
No, and I was actually astounded that like you talked about that for so long, because I had no idea. I didn't know that that was a thing. And I'm so happy that I learned about it, and that that's something that she does, because she is creating a safe space for people on the spectrum to meet each other. And I thought that was awesome.
Mm-hmm. She creates a safe space, and then you guys create the danger space.
Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, I told her just to keep me in contact, just to, if she has any questions, because yeah. I think she was like taken aback too.
I'm so bummed that she had to run out of the room to go to a panel, because like I wanted to talk to her. I wanted her to be like, hey, this is my experience with the field, and hey, this is like how I got to know more about it and everything like that. Like I just wanted to pick her brain about it so long. Not to mention she's Midoriya's mom in My Hero Academia too, and I wanted to geek out about that as well. I'm so bummed I wasn't doing the interview. But it was great.
I forgot to make the joke about Midoriya and the mom actually having the same quirk, which is the hardcore crying. But I'm very happy that I was able to talk to her about Sunny Dirty Children. Because that was probably one of my favorite mom moments in 2017.
Yeah.
But let's see, what else happened? Well, I know you walked around. You got some more things at the dealer's room.
Yeah, I got Joking Hazard card game.
Yes.
Which we played your version while we were taking a break. But yes. It made me so happy with my... It validated my life decisions, which is a great thing.
Yeah, but now you have to also buy the expansion pack and Toking Hazard, which is the expansion pack all devoted to weed. Which, by the way, actually comes with free rolling papers.
Oh my god. Well, great. So that was a lot of fun. We spent a lot of time playing with that. Some random dude, Dan. He came up to our table and he just pulled up a chair and was like, what are we playing? Deal me in.
Although his badge said Tim. Not sure if you guys noticed that one.
No, I didn't, but after talking with him for a while, I would expect nothing less.
Honestly, it was like T period, I period, M period, so maybe it stood for something. But so he said, my name's Dan. Just looking down, like...
He was talking about this panel that he was running. What was it called?
What's Gonna Happen
what's
panel
gonna happen?
Or something like that.
No, something's Gonna Happen.
Something's gonna happen,
and then who wants to be a 10 error or something.
Yeah, who wants to be a $10 error, which sounded really funny. He sounded like a clever dude. I'm surprised he doesn't do panels all the time, because like I think that he would be able to do...
Well, then also he was describing that one of his panels was spinning a bike wheel and then throwing Nerf darts at someone in the front row for a half an hour straight.
Well, the bike wheel was a turntable. Well, it was a spinning wheel. So that, and
he never got past Joe Pesci with the categories.
Joe Pesci.
All we know, it was just Joe Pesci on that wheel.
We played Rock Band for like an hour.
I tried to do Crocodile Chop, which for our listeners, what Crocodile Chop is the music of Crocodile Rock by Elton John.
Yeah.
With the lyrics of Chop Suey by System of a Down.
And it was on no fail mode either. And yet still, even though we were doing harmony mics and there were like three people on the microphone, there was one kid getting so super pissed off as you.
Oh, sorry.
You
should have followed along.
Sing Crocodile Rock.
Yeah, it was. I just thought it was so funny. Like, just like you know, like she's singing Crocodile Rock. And, wake up! Come on, I need help here. You know, it was relax.
Come on, just have fun.
Literally, like 5 minutes before that, she was like, "It's on no fail mode. It's fine." And
then she just fucking flips out.
I missed all of that. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, you were patrolling. You were on patrol.
Yeah. But I killed them on Go With The Flow by Queens of the Stone
Age. Oh, man.
That's my go-to song.
Yeah, I played guitar and sang for Burning Down the House by Talking Heads.
I did lyrics for The Passenger by Iggy Pop.
Yeah, I did. I sang for Party Hard, which probably was the start of me killing my voice for 10.
I drummed throughout most of those, I think.
Yeah.
And then I sung... Oh, God.
Oh, we did Give Me Chocolate, too.
Yeah, Give Me Chocolate would be a minute.
Oh, Walk This Way.
Yeah,
you did great favorites. With that, by the way.
And then there was this one dude who was there. He was there for like 20 minutes just watching us play, and I kept offering him, do you want to play guitar or whatever? He was like, no, I'm just going to wait for my song. And it turned out to be Hypnotized by System of a Down. And like...
Everybody sang along.
10 people were singing it at the time. And it was so good.
It was like a Ben Camaro concert.
Yeah.
That was singing that one while I was on drums.
Yeah. And I was just straight up singing that one. It was fun.
So what was the amount of things you got in the dealer's room? Didn't you grab a couple things?
Not just free refills of my soda today.
Yeah.
That metal mug, man, that thing's awesome.
That is awesome.
Oh, speaking of drinks, we did get another soda, which was... you talked about this yesterday.
Yes, we did talk about this. What was your experience with that?
Radiation. Well, I got the sample cup, and it was really good. Mm-hmm. And I ended up buying... It was like a deal of $15 for four. And I could barely get through one. It was so sugary and so fruity. Like I didn't.
It had 126% of the daily value of sugar in one bottle.
Eat your heart out, Mountain Dew.
Yeah, right? Oh, my gosh. So I could barely drink one of them. Dan actually finished mine off while we were playing cards. It was tasty. It's really tasty.
And Dan, the same one who couldn't finish his and ended up throwing half of his away.
Yeah.
Well, the cool thing about that soda was it's a one-man show right now. I think the gentleman's name was Tyler, who owns this.
He's 18.
Yeah, he has a commercial kitchen for it, and he... It took him a few months, I think he said, to make this recipe.
Yeah.
And honestly, I know it's a little bit loaded on sugar. It tastes good, though.
Yeah, it's amazing.
A
good drink.
I'd like to see a new flavor, see what he could come up with.
He told me he wanted to make a really good flavor and then kind of slowly transition once everything kind of gets up to speed.
Right.
It's like getting Coca-Cola out there type of thing, and then you make other flavors.
It's like when you went from Mountain Dew to Code Red to the Volt one.
Yeah.
Voltage.
Absolutely.
Also, going to redact, I have no idea why I called Greg Dan for a second there.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I
called him David earlier, but there was a reason behind that.
There is a reason behind that.
So, yes, this is the end of the second part of our another anime convention coverage. I'm so sorry. I'm feeling like I'm about to pass out at any second. Lots of dancing at the panel, by the way.
Yeah. Dance our heart out.
We were going to stay for the Voltron-themed slumber party, pajama party, whatever that was happening after.
But things were getting weird.
No, it just seemed like all they were going to do was talk about Voltron in their pajamas.
Yes.
That's all it was going to do. There was no projector on.
Games and, like, I don't know.
I don't want that.
Yeah, it just sounded like just a group of friends.
Why would I go to something Voltron-themed if they're going to talk about Voltron? I mean, what?
Well, at least they didn't do the panel in character.
Yeah, they didn't do it.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they were on like minute 7 of the setup, and they were still looking for chairs by the time we just gave up on it and walked out.
And we're like, there's 3 more chairs!
Yeah.
They were very... We probably made their night. They were very excited when they saw those chairs.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've never seen 3 grown men bolt so fast out of a... The guys were like, yep, see you later. And I was like, all right, 3
yeah,
more
yeah,
chairs.
Enjoy yourself.
It was right after they said, okay, well, season 4 just came out, so... you know, don't talk about it to us normal people who, you know, have to wait a day or two to watch it.
No spoilers. And we're
and
that, it was
look
like
at
that.
Each other and like...
Time to go.
Yeah.
To go.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that wraps up the second day coverage of another anime convention. There is one more panel that we're going to be checking out. It's going to involve t-shirts and wetness and beach episodes and tits. Probably. Yeah, probably tits.
Of both genders.
Wet beach episodes on tits and shirts.
Man boobs.
Now, are you a pool episode person or a beach episode person?
Pool.
Pool?
Actually, you know what? No, it doesn't matter. I'm a bathing suit episode guy.
Okay. So.
I'll go beach because you can actually run at the beach.
That is true.
Therefore, slow motion running.
I hate the beach, though. Like, in real life.
I do, too.
I prefer pools over.
Oh, pools are awesome.
Pools are much better. Pools are much better. Less chance of being eaten by a shark.
Yeah, but more chance of swimming through somebody else's pee.
That as well. That as well.
The waves take it right away.
But it is sterile.
Right, yeah.
It is sterile.
Just stay away from the dark blue clouds.
And we said that's the chlorine.
And on that note.
What song are we playing?
Yeah. Well, before that, because Alexander, you're not going to be here for day three.
Oh, no, no, I'm not. I'm not.
Yeah, so why don't you plug away your usual shtick?
Sure. You can find us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com if you want to email us with questions and comments. You can find us on YouTube, Wicked Anime Reviews, Facebook, /WickedAnime, Twitter, Yo Wicked Anime, and missing something else. NerdyShow.com/WickedAnime is our homestead where you can find all of our videos and our podcasts bi-weekly. You can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom. If it holds podcasts, you can find us there. Wicked Anime.
Excellent.
Oh, and you can also find him on the top floor of the parking garage jumping my car after we finish this.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that's a thing we have to do. Crap. Hopefully there's a space open next to you because you're parked up against the wall.
Yeah, I'll just push it into the opposite wall. And yeah.
Okay.
All right. So for the next song, I want your little assistance with this because as our readers of the website know, I did a huge article about why I was wrong about this anime. And I'm, of course, talking about Nichijou,
yeah.
Ordinary Life.
That's great. So this is, which theme?
This is the first opening
theme. The first opening theme, Hiding and See.
Yes.
Did I pronounce that right? I always call it Hiding.
It's Hiding no Kakakakata.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
Hiding no Kakakakata Katana no Bababa. I don't know if I'm.
You can't pronounce it.
I cannot pronounce this. Holy fuck.
Okay. Hiding no Kakakakata Kata Omoisi.
That sounded pretty darn close.
Hey.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Yeah.
And I hope you listeners will give Nichijou that second chance that I gave it.
Yeah, and Hayadine is a really high-energy dude. He's one guy. You'll notice that in the song there's a male and a female part, and he sings both of them. And he does all the instruments. Everything is just him.
Really?
Yeah.
So that wasn't a chick singing?
Nope. That was him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
So in the music video, there's a female in there, but he actually recorded the part.
Okay. Very interesting. So anyway, this is Kyade with the theme song to Nichijou by Ordinary Life, the first opening theme, and I am not going to try to pronounce that name again.
Kaka!
Don't knock it.
by Muse from the anime series Love Live! School Idol Project, the first season of that show. Great program if you're ever interested in a little bit about the idol industry, the good part of the idol industry. I like the bad part of the idol industry that we talked about on Wicked Anime. It's definitely a great series to watch.
The bad part of the idol industry is actually American Idol.
That's actually true. So, Derek, it is the last day.
It is finally the last day. We just left closing ceremonies.
We just left closing ceremonies, and we almost didn't make it to day three because, as you heard in the previous segment, we had some trouble starting the car, and thankfully John Star was able to assist with it. But when we came back out today...
John Star jumped me nicely, but I was under the impression that the car running for 15 minutes was good to charge it up. No, because when we got ready to head out this morning... Same exact story. So we got to wait a nice 45 minutes for a very polite gentleman from AAA who actually gave me a lesson about batteries at the same time, too. So,
yes,
and what is AAA?
And what is that lesson?
Left it running for another hour after he jumped the car. So now my battery is charged and it just started up fine.
Yeah,
sitting in my car now.
Yeah, if you listen carefully, you'll hear the engine purring very nicely.
It's very happy.
Yeah. So, Derek, something very interesting happened with you at the third day of this convention.
Oh, we're not going to... I thought we were going to start with what happened last night first.
Oh, right!
Well, let's go chronologically here, because
yes.
we got some nice little nightmare fuel after after we last talked.
Yes, because people will recall that we talked about wet t-shirt contests, and it was a wet t-shirt contest, just not the kind that we want.
Yeah, the description said that they were going to discuss the trope of the beach episode and all the fan service it provides. Literally, you just walked into the room, someone stood in a little mini kiddie pool, and people just held up squirt guns saying, "Who wants to squirt this person with water?" And that lasted for an hour. That was it. No material, and there was some sort of soundless video with, oh my god.
They were playing Danger Zone, they were playing Baywatch, they were playing every anime beach episode, like from Tenchi Muyo.
All the Hoff, all the David Hoff.
All the Hoff.
That's the name I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, they did all the Hoff. Apparently they've been doing this for 5 years.
Yeah, Episode 5. Hey, why not? I mean, Fast and the Furious has more sequels, so this has the same level of substance to it.
Exactly.
Same carnal appeal, I guess we
could say. But I think we'd be lying if we said that we didn't have fun. There was a level of fun to this.
Yes. Surprisingly, mostly girls shooting at guys' t-shirts.
Yes. So maybe next year, let's... equal out the playing field, okay?
As much, I'm sure I love movies as much as you do, but there were a lot of movies. A lot of movies.
Right, so now we can talk about what you wound up doing today, because you got called up to the stage to help out in a scene.
Oh, yes, so there was a panel going on. Gentleman's name is...
Tony Oliver. Who is the voice of Lupin the Third, one of my favorite characters of all time.
Yes, so he put together a panel... kind of sharing his expertise in both the voice acting and the directing side of voice acting. So he was giving some description, just kind of tricks as to how to project your voice, how to talk, how to actually, you know, relax one part of your body, tense another up, and you get a whole different kind of sound. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he started calling on members of the audience to come up and do a quick script reading. So I was lucky enough to get to do a scene of my own.
Right, and the show was Fate Grand Order, and... talk about, like, what you had to do. Like, what was the direction that he had for you?
Right, so I was told to act very defensive, and kind of aloof and confused at the same time. I was a high school student, who was basically getting intimidated by another female character. So her instructions were to act as grittily angry as possible. And I was supposed to be, just going through my lines, just reading them, and it'll be good. I'm sorry. Okay.
But you did a great job. I'm very proud of you, man.
Yeah. It's always nice getting up on the stage. It's been a while.
I know, because as people might recall, way, way, way back in the day, I used to help out Derek with some video stuff with a band called Rainbow Terrace, and I used to film all your concerts and behind-the-scenes stuff. We even made, like, a full-length documentary about a concert you did.
Yes, get into a pile and F-word.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes, you do. Little inside joke. I don't know if you'll ever see this movie. Probably never. But know it exists, and you'll never see it.
It'll just be on the background in the lobby of my funeral one day, playing that. People who have no idea was ever in a band will walk in and go, get into a pile and fuck. Okay, but that took a dark turn. Let's move on.
But then after that, you know, we grabbed lunch, of course, afterwards. And then we checked out whose anime is this anyway. And I do have to say, I feel like that might have been the most disappointing event of the thing. Here's the thing. At Anime Boston, they have another thing there that is exactly the same as that, called Anime Unscripted. But they actually have the guests of the convention doing all the stuff. If they had done that here, it would have been so much better.
Instead, it seemed like it was maybe like 6 or 7 staff members. I mean, like, on stage, and then there was a couple more in the audience that kept coming up for special appearances. But it seemed like a lot of inside jokes, a lot of memes, and a lot of Shrek. And they all busted into All-Star at one point, and maybe like 20 people out of the crowd really react and laugh to that. Which were probably the same 20 people who were at the 18+, Whose Anime Is It Anyway panel from last night. Unfortunately, we didn't get to catch. It's probably a little bit funnier on the 18+ side.
Probably.
But,
It's hard to do G-rated comedy these days.
Yeah.
It's not the fault of the
convention. There was a couple of good moments, but there was a lot of just cringing.
Yeah.
Maybe who cringed last, we just show the entirety of that.
Someday maybe we'll have to do that panel at another anime convention. But you know what? All in all, it was a great time. Great fun. We got to meet up with old friends. We got to hang out with people that we cared deeply about. We got to interview people that we've become very close with and good friends with.
Yes.
And just, all in all, this is a great small convention. I know it's a sharp contrast to what Anime Boston does, but it's definitely an event that you can go, have fun, and you can even chill out and relax more than you can at Anime Boston.
It's a lot more, I guess chill is a good way to put it. And there's obviously like the crowds moving back and forth from place to place, but not a lot of people. And if there was a crowd, they were all going to one spot.
Yeah.
So it was kind of easy to tell, like, what was going on there, because all of the people just started moving to that one space.
But yes, all in all, I loved AAC 2017. I'm very much looking forward to seeing what they do for AAC 2018, because we left during closing ceremonies when they were about to announce the next theme, and I don't quite know what it's going to be. I'd rather be surprised.
Yes.
I like to be surprised.
It's not going to be space, because that's Anime Boston next year.
Yep.
But, yeah, maybe it'll be time.
Perhaps it might be. So, folks, thank you for listening to this special episode of No Borders, No Race, directly from another anime convention 2017. Normally, this is when I would do my shameless plug stuff, but let me tell you, I am, like, tired. I am, like, exhausted. I feel like I'm going to be, like, passing out at any moment whatsoever. So I'll keep it short and sweet. Go to our website, b3crew.com, follow me on Twitter at KingBabyDuckESH, like us on Facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and Facebook.com/LandOfEsh, and don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smashbrook, and Nerd Crave. And Derek, do you have any final words before we completely wrap up?
Just one thing. I feel like this can sum up everything from these past 3 days. Shrek is love. Shrek is life.
And with that, we're going to close the show with one of our favorite bands of all time, a band that truly introduced me to the Japanese music scene. That is The Pillows, with a song from the iconic anime known as Fooly Cooly and from their compilation album, Fool on the Planet. This is I Think I Can. And until next time, this is your King Baby Doc Evan Borgo.
And Elite Four Derek.
Remind you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.
Yeah! Come on, I bet.
cap. I think I can.
Hey guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.